Amen. As we go away from here, this is an opportunity for us to continue to pray for each other. We call it our Bible study prayer meeting. It's a time we can pray, but it's a time we can remember as we leave here some of these requests to be praying throughout the week. So do be praying for everyone in the situations involved. We have started our study in which book? Okay, hopefully all of you remember that by now. We're going back to the very beginning, which I've heard is a very good place to start, right? And so we're headed back there to Genesis chapter 2 again tonight. Genesis 2, I did go through, and hopefully I made everything larger. Oh, wait, I forgot that. That's right. Thank you, Ashton. Remember our books of the Bible. You know them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, so on and so forth. But our first five books of the Bible, we call those the what? The Pentateuch or the Law. And in those books, we've got a key word just to help us kind of remember some of the things going on. So Genesis is what? Exodus is? Yes, all together. Ready? Exodus is? Redemption. Leviticus is holy. Good. Okay, now before you put this next one up, Ashton, you can put up the book. Go ahead. There we go. Numbers. Anybody remember Numbers? Ooh, this is a tough one. Not Law. Ooh, I heard someone, I think. Journeys. There we go. Journeys. And then we have Deuteronomy, which is obedience. So all five of these comprise what we call the law in the Old Testament, the genre that we kind of break it down into. So let's go through these together here real quick. Genesis, beginnings. Exodus, redemption. Leviticus, holiness. Numbers, journeys. Deuteronomy, obedience. And God wants us to obey. Some of these Old Testament books are tough to read, aren't they? But when we keep one phrase or one main idea, hey, this is what God's teaching us here, sometimes it gives us a little more insight. Wow, that I see that. Oh, I really see why he's put these here. I mean, and so just some things to remember. Genesis, beginnings, Exodus, redemption, Leviticus, holiness, Numbers, journeys. They're journeying. Remember, they're preparing to go to what? The promised land. We went through Joshua, and then Deuteronomy is obedience. And so we'll continue on that. Maybe next week we'll add a couple more. We'll see. Genesis chapter 2. Hopefully this is a little bit bigger for you today. I hope. The beginning of man. Let's go ahead and show a couple of them here, Ashton. We went through this last week. This was the climax of God's creation. Can you read that in the back better today? Excellent. The back row especially. I saw a thumbs up. Ashton's got young eyes, so I can't look at him for that because he always can read everything, right? So this was the climax of God's creation. We've talked about that, that yes, all of the creation was important, but there was something special about who? Us. Aren't you thankful? God loves me. The climax of God's creation. And then we talked about after that, we talked about God breathes into man the breath of life. That it wasn't just, again, we've got breath, or we're alive. We call plants alive until we do what, Phil? Rip them out, right? We call them alive. But it's a different kind of life. God breathed into us the breath of life. God's life. We were made in his image. Go ahead, Ashton. Man was different than everything else. Again, we were made in his image, and we talked about that a little bit this last week, that we were made in his image. And we talked about some specific areas of that. And then we went on as we were discussing that. And go ahead there, Ashton. Man has some of the same qualities God has. Do you remember any of those we talked about? There was some personal ones, I believe. Was that the first? Yeah, the personal ones. Go ahead and put the personal up there. And there were three of them specifically we talked about last week. The brain, the intellect. We have an intellect because whose image are we made in? God's. God is not just some mass of blob out there who's bigger than everything else, but he's got intellect, and he made us in his image. So really, man, why is it that I wish I could say we don't let them, but we teach them that they shouldn't call themselves stupid. We try to tell our kids, don't call yourselves stupid. Why? Oh, because we want to boost their self-image. No. I mean, yeah, I don't want them to feel that low about themselves, but because they were made in whose image? God's. Maybe in that area, it doesn't come as easy as everybody else, and maybe in another area it does. But man, we are made in the image of God. We do have intellect, and as we talked about that, man can reason through a problem. And not just react to stimuli. Remember, we talked about the plant that if we put it in the windowsill, it just kind of can bend towards the light. And we can reason through problems and not just react. We can communicate in a complex manner. We talked about some of those. Phone calls, FaceTime over the internet. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, what is FaceTime? That's what we do when we talk face to face, right? And in so many different ways of complex communication that God allows us to communicate in. We talked about the intellect, but we talked about another area of life. The personal area of life that God has made us in His image. Emotion was the next one that we talked about. Emotions. How many of you say you have emotions? How many of you say, man, I know someone who really has emotions, right? Okay. And so the reality is, every one of us have emotions. And some of us just display them differently. But we can't ever use the excuse, well, I just don't have emotions. Why? Sometimes we can harden ourselves to emotions, but we have been made in the image of who? And is God emotional? And what are some, again, not in the way we often think of emotional weeping and all this other, because that we say that's emotional, but emotions includes a huge aspect. What are, again, real quick, what are the few emotions that you can say off the top of your head about God? God has this emotion. Love. Hatred. Towards what? Sin. So He's got love and yet hatred. What are some other emotions? Anger. Again, towards the sin. Jesus Christ with in the temple. Happiness. Man, He rejoices. And man, there's the joy that He has. Amen. Mercy. Man, there's so many things. Mercy. Being kind when we don't deserve it, if you want to call it that. Man, keep withholding those negative things that we really do. God is an emotional being. And so He's made us the same way that we can experience different emotions. Now, can those emotions be sinful then? Yes. Can our intellect be sinful? Well, yeah, because we are what? Sinners. And so that's the tough part. How many of you say, sometimes I hate my emotions? I do. I mean, sometimes I wish I was more emotional to understand what my wife is saying. You know, because sometimes as a guy, I'm just, oh, I didn't mean it that way, right? Any other guy know what I'm talking about here? Okay, so good. Look at all these hands going around. Okay, so the reality is, man, our emotions or our intellect can be sinful, but we've been made in the image of God, so they can also be what? Righteous. And that's the encouraging thing. And so we talked about emotions. Then we talked about the intellect, emotion, and the will. That I can act with deliberate purpose. I can choose. Right? Can't you choose? What'd you choose for breakfast today? Nothing. Wow, nobody ate today, man. This is Dan. Man, Dan had anybody top Dan's breakfast today? Man, that sounds pretty good. Two bananas, that doesn't come close to it, Paul. I mean, so we have choices we can make, whether it's bananas or a full breakfast. That sounds good to me. We have choices that we can make. God's given us that will that we have to make choices. So we talked about the personal aspect that we've been made in. Now tonight we're going to talk more about the moral aspect. Back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God is moral, and God expects mankind to have morality. He's given us that. How about Adam and Eve? Did God give them a moral, once we go back to it again, choice, the will? Did God give them a moral choice they had in the garden? What was that moral choice? Eat or don't eat? What's that? Yeah, really, that's what it boiled down to. Live or die, based upon your choice of sin. You know, what's interesting, we often get into situations in life when we don't like the choice that we've made, or we don't like the choices that are available to choose from. But the reality is, Adam and Eve had a choice, and they struggled with that. And when it comes down to moral choice, man can judge between good and evil. Man can judge between good and evil. Chapter 2, we were in there last week. Verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. So he had some responsibilities. Sometimes we say, well, man, work was a problem. Work is part of the curse, right? Man, that work is part of the curse. You ever hear that said? Yeah. But the reality is, work was before sin. Now, there was then some struggles with work. How many of you ever say, man, I know what they're talking about when it's with the curse of work? Yeah, some of it is tough. Rob raised his hand real high, Rob, or Phil, so you make sure you deal with him later. But man, the reality of that is we do have a choice. We can determine good or bad. God gave them work, but with that work, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. He gave them some rewards, right? God gave them work, but then he gave them rewards. What were those rewards? They had food. And it's incredible to think about that. There were rewards for their work. And Rob says he's thankful that there are rewards for his work, Phil, or he wouldn't work for you. But man, there are rewards for our work. Adam and Eve experienced that, again, before sin. The rewards were they could eat of any tree they wanted to, except one, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what? Die. Bass just said the choice was to live or die. Did they really understand that? Did they understand the full ramifications of what would happen if they were to eat that? I don't think they understood it fully. But did they understand it enough? They sure did. Because God gave them enough information to hold them what? Accountable to it. Just like he says in the New Testament that each person is accountable for salvation. God has displayed himself enough. Can people look up in the sky and see all the stars and say, I need to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior? Do the stars write that out? Not in and of themselves, but do they declare the glory of God? And the heaven shows forth his handiwork? And I mean, so many things that we can see about that. So everyone has to trust Jesus Christ as Savior in order to be saved. And so the reality is, Adam and Eve may not have fully understood what death meant. Had they ever seen death before? No, we've talked about it tonight with some and some passing of loved ones. Man, that is tough. We all understand what that means. And it grieves our hearts. And so when we say someone's going to die, even our kids understand that. You know, to a degree, they understand what that means. All the way down to young kids, they can understand that to a degree. So the reality is that there are consequences for sin. There was the moral aspect. They could judge between good and evil. And then man is responsible to obey God. We are responsible to obey God. Not just do whatever we want. Not to live how I feel, because I think that's good. How do people in America live today often? Whatever feels good, right? Whatever feels good. That's not the way that you and I should live. It's not just how I feel good, but it's what God expects. Remember, we're in our auditorium Sunday school class, the new curriculum we just started on Sunday mornings? Baptist distinctives? Remember what that B stands for? Biblical authority? It goes back to the Word of God. You and I are accountable for what God says in His Word. I may not fully understand it. How many of you fully understand heaven and you're looking forward to it because you fully understand it? I partially understand it. Man, I look forward to it, but I have no clue. But the reality is God has given me enough understanding to obey, but then he's given me responsibility to choose. And Adam and Eve were moral. They were responsible to obey God, and so am I. So many people, when we think of evolution, they say, well, we came from a big blob. Well, where did that blob come from? Whatever means they say we evolved, who are they accountable for? And two, if they just have evolved? Say that one more time. No one. So no wonder it's so much better to believe in evolution. Because I can what? Do whatever I want. The tragedy of the school shootings, even one this week. Tragedy of those. But based upon what is that wrong? If they simply evolved and we're just another animal species, Josiah's loving watching big cats and learning about the cheetah. And the other night we were talking about the puma or the mountain lion. And what do those big cats do? They kill and eat. Why is it so bad for these high schoolers to go around killing? Well, it's just wrong. Well, based upon what? That's where it has to go back to. But the world doesn't understand that, do they? That's why we as Christians must stand up and say, it's God's word, and that's it. And so the reality is, God has given me a responsibility to choose. Now, we would say, well, I would never do anything like that. Hopefully, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we really aren't above any sin as believers. But do we struggle with sin? Do we know good and bad yet? Yeah. But we often battle with sin every day. We know what the right choice is, but I just can't do it. In my flesh lies no good thing. And it goes back to, I must take God's strength to obey. Redeeming the time, how do we do that? It's in God's strength. I can waste the time in my own strength and in my flesh all day long. But we are responsible to God to obey and to choose Him and let Him make that difference in our lives and through our lives. So he said, man is personal, made after the image of God. Man is moral, made after the image of God. And man is spiritual. Man is spiritual. We were created with spiritual life. Back to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the what? And man became a, not just a living body, a living soul. You and I were made with that spiritual aspect. There is, as some people say, a God-shaped hole in everybody's life that only God can fill. Because you and I are spiritual beings. We can try to fill that with all sorts of things. What are some things Christians try to fill that with? They're already saved. They know they need God. But what are some, sometimes we see other Christians, never us, of course, but what do we see other Christians filling those, their God-sized hole with instead of their devotions in the morning or whatever time of the day with God and prayer? What are some of the things we see Christians doing? Entertainment. Man, I don't have time for this. I know I need it, but it's so much easier to sit in front of the TV, or it's so much easier to listen to the radio or read this magazine or these other things that just distract us. We know we've got that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's just that longing inside of you sometimes. You haven't walked with God maybe or whatever, and it's just like, oh, I need God. In a real sense, I mean, that's what it is with our local church, right? Lloyd and Nancy were talking to me the other day. What a blessing it is to be back after being sick and struggling with that. There's something that God has given us about being part of the family of God. There's that spiritual aspect that God has made us in His image. We were created with spiritual life, and we can communicate and fellowship with God. Remember we said one thing with being personal, our intellect allows us to communicate amongst each other. Why? Because we have a spiritual nature and we can communicate with God. So horizontally, we communicate with each other, but vertically, we communicate with God. How do we communicate with God? Okay, prayer. Does God really hear my prayers, or is it just kind of words that I'm saying? Oh, that's just a crutch for you. Of course God hears our prayers. What are some other ways we communicate with God? Okay, worship. When we sing songs, even on Wednesday night, the songs that Pastor Bob leads us in, it's not just a filler so we don't have to hear Pastor Josh the whole time. It should be a communication act to God. How else do we communicate with God and Him with us? Reading His Word. Isn't the Bible unlike any other book? How many of you love reading? Right? You know what I meant? Whoa, man, way more of you than I thought. Man, that's exciting. How many of you say it's a lot easier sometimes to read other things than the Bible? I know. Personally, I know. But if I don't ever let God communicate to me personally on a spiritual level, I'm not letting Him fulfill that need in my life that I have. I'll look for it in all these other ways, and I'll seek for it sometimes if I'm not spending that time. We get distracted in prayer. You can pray 5 seconds and then something else, and then, oh, what was I doing? 5 minutes ago, I was praying. Oh, I'll go back to praying. And then all of a sudden, 5 seconds later, something else. Sometimes we've just got to pause and let God speak to us by listening to Him through His Word. And let Him communicate. And it's like, wow, God, Some of the greatest times of prayer we can have is as we listen to His Word, because He's made us spiritual beings. He communicates with us, and we communicate with Him. That little kid song that sometimes we sing, what? His Word, the prayers go up, the blessings come down, the prayers go up. Why can the prayers go up? Because we can build our life on the Lord, on His life, on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. That foundation that no one laid, but that which is laid, Paul says, which is Jesus Christ, never change. He wants to communicate to me through His Word. Do I let Him? He's made me a spiritual being. He's made me personal with an intellect, emotion, and will. He's made me moral that I can choose and I'm accountable for it. And He's made me spiritual. Rob. Amen. 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 Because He's made us spiritual. And so let's, one, acknowledge that, but let's watch for that. God, would You speak to me in a special way? You know, I asked a couple weeks ago, would you pray about the one specific area, or the main area that God wants to work on in your life this year? Why can that even happen? Because He's made us what? Spiritual. And truly, what a praise. What a great God that we do serve. He has made us in His image. So we have some of the qualities God has. To a human degree, to a lesser degree, because the Bible says His ways are what? Higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Let's praise God that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. Next week we'll continue on with this and seeing man as a special place and dominion, and we'll talk through some of these other aspects of this. But I want us to remember, let's praise God for how He's made us. But then let's take these aspects of the intellect, emotion, and will. Let's take the aspect of morality and choose right. Let's take the aspect of spirituality and what? Communicate with God and let Him communicate with us. Father, we thank You for Your love. I do pray that You would help us to grow in You. God, would You make a difference in our lives today? God, we see so many around our world who choose evolution, but we see the reality of how You have made a difference in our lives. Would You help us this week to be spiritual, to be spiritually minded? God, would You work even in a special way with us as we take the teens to snow camp, that in a special way You'd speak to our hearts there? God, help us as a church family to understand our spirituality and let You make a difference. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.